Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, ask for what you want. Here we go. So Mark, let's get right to it.
Right.
I have something I want my directs to do. What's a more effective way for me to do that than I've been doing in the past?
Yeah, most managers, when they need something done, tell the directs what to do. They tell them. And look, you're entitled to, guys. Telling relies on your role power, right? And it works. It does work. We're not telling you can't ever use it. But there's a better, more strategic way, and that's to ask rather than to tell. And full disclosure, we'll talk about it more in a minute. We've talked about this before, but it's obvious to me that it didn't get through at all based on the thousands of managers we've talked to since we talked about it. So we're going to do it again in a more specific way. Good. There's three things we want to talk about. First rule, ask, don't tell. And of course, every time I say that, I'm reminded of the sales phrase, if you want to sell, ask, don't tell. Meaning, stop talking about your product and ask for the order. If you never ask for the order, no matter how much you tell, you're not going to get a yes because you don't ask for it. Saying, I'd like you to buy is different than saying, would you buy? Not that would you buy is necessarily a great close. Okay? So I don't want people to get confused that this is a sales cast, although the fundamental principle does apply. It's about communication.
Yeah, I think managers thinking a little bit more about their ability to sell versus just directing.
Well, look, I don't want this to be about sales, but I hope there are some managers who are smart enough to know management is ultimately about persuasion because relationships are about persuasion, whereas roles are about coercion. If you're using your role powers about coercion, but the parallel to if you want to sell, ask, don't tell. If you want your directs to do well, ask, don't tell. Mm-hmm. Right? It's cheesy. I just invented it.
It works though. It rhymed.
Yeah,
very good.
I got lucky.
I think it might stick. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So first we ask, we don't tell. And that means asking a question. Now, there are two parts of this that's important. One is asking relies on relationship and not on role power. We want to be clear about that. Guys, if you want a chance at a great manager, you've got to invest in relationships and you've got to rely less over time on the role power and more on your relationship power. And the way we can tell when a manager's relying on relationship power is the things they say and how they say them, right? It's just behavior. And then our last point, third point is the beauty of this is asking requires an answer. And yes, that increases the chances you're going to be told no. I would argue that if you say, I need to do something, and somebody wants to say no, if you were to ask them a question and they were going to say no, they'll tell you no, even if you make a statement. So I don't think it increases the chances you'll say no. It just makes the no more obvious because you've asked a question.
Or the yes more obvious in the form
yes,
of a verbal commitment.
And that's the beauty of it. The asking causes the yes to happen out loud to you, or it surfaces the problem that could lead to a no, and you could deal with it now rather than later. And that's why we recommend ask, don't tell.
Okay, so I've been working hard my entire career. I've been an individual contributor. I've had to beg, borrow, steal. I mean, I always have to beg to get somebody to do something. I've been working all this time to finally get to the point where I don't have to ask anymore. I can just tell people what to do. So much easier.
Yeah, role
now
power.
Now you're telling me I'm right back where I was. I got to ask people.
No, I'm not telling you where you were. I'm telling you there's a better way. Look, you can still tell. If you need to, you can. But if that's all there is to management, we're going to devolve pretty quickly into dictatorships, right? I mean, look, there are people who do it, and there are people who do it who are successful. Don't get me wrong, folks. I know there are dictators out there that your company is promoting. And you say to yourself, well, Mark and Mike, Wendy, Danny, everybody over there, they can't be right because there are guys getting ahead who are just jerks. Well, trust me, they'll get theirs. Or maybe you're at the wrong company.
Or maybe they're so flippin' smart and they're the exception, right?
They're
and
at the either tail of the bell curve.
And right? I'm not the exception, you're not the exception, right? But there are people who are exceptions.
And we're pretty smart, and we're still not the exception. Yeah, rather than telling our directs what we want them to do, Manager Tools recommends, guys, that you ask them to do it. And the key words there are ask and tell. Now, look, some of you remember that we've talked about this before in casts on delegation and on task assignment. We totally gave specific examples of how to do each. And in both cases, we recommended managers ask directs versus telling them. But in talking to people since then, in the last couple of years, I discovered something. When you tell people, ask, almost no one can prove to me through their behavior that they understand what it means to ask. Mm. Okay? And frankly, there's a bigger issue, which is the big thing that those two casts did was separate for many people in their minds. In fact, I remember Eldon Schaefer saying, or no, it wasn't Eldon, it was somebody else said, I finally get the difference between delegation and task assignment, right? That was the big thing. And what is a task versus what's a delegation? A task is something that your director is supposed to do. A delegation is something you would normally do that you're now delegating to them, okay? And here's what we found out, okay? As I started talking to people about, what do you think about delegation? I'm always looking for data, right? We have lots of studies about stuff, but I want field examples. If something's not working, let's stop doing it. Yeah. There's two sides to this. And one is, if it's stupid but it works, it's not stupid. Okay, that I think that applies to the feedback model. People think it's stupid, then they start using it, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is great. I had to get over my own stuff. On the other hand, I don't care how smart it is. If it doesn't work, don't do it. Yeah. Right? I don't care.
It sounds good theoretically, but it doesn't produce results.
Yeah, exactly. And what I found out is, when we ask managers to ask, they tell. They do not ask.
Which is bizarre.
But even better. Oh, no, no, it's even more bizarre than that. Oh, trust me. Here's what it is. They think they're asking.
Okay, no, that's...
But they're telling. Okay? And guys, we, in all of our years, we don't repeat ourselves except about the core stuff that needs repeating and so on. But we actually talked about this in a previous cast, and it just went over everybody's heads. Dudes, we take full responsibility that we didn't communicate it in a way that was important. And some of our casts are kind of dense. We got several different key topics going on. I'll never forget. It was this cast that I said, and nobody seems to, I mean, I don't hear that often from people. Wow, I love that. But it's one of the most profound things I remember saying in the last 5 years. We never ask a question of a direct whose answer we don't intend to honor, right? If you're not going to honor an answer, if you're asking only to ask to make them feel good, but if in fact they say no, you're going to roll over them and sign it. Don't mess up your ability to ask in the future just to sign the darn work, right? I said that, and I nobody mentions that as being huge. They mention other stuff, mistakes we've made, that's for sure. We told them ask, and then they gave us examples where they told rather than asking, okay? We ask a manager, for instance, ask your direct to help you by looking at a presentation you're working on, okay? They say, okay, and then they say, I need your help looking at a deck. And I say, dude, that's not asking. Well, yeah, I am. I'm asking for their help. No, you're not. Yeah, I am. I just said I need help looking for a deck. Yeah, I know. That's not asking for help. And we, by the way, we did cover the difference. And it just went off. I'm like, no, really not. You're really not. I'm going to have an aneurysm listening to you, right? We asked them to ask a direct to go to a meeting for them. They say, dude, no problem, dude. Hey, I'd like you to go to this meeting for me. Okay, you didn't ask. Yeah, I did. I totally did, just now. We'll repeat what you said. And they say, okay, hey, I'd like you to go to a meeting for me. Okay, but you didn't ask him. Yeah, I did. Are you sure? Let's diagram that sentence on a whiteboard.
Does it have a question mark on the
Now, end? I can't honestly say that I ever had anybody actually write it out on a whiteboard. I have had some managers when I finally said, does it have a question mark at the end? And they go, oh my gosh. This is my analysis. I could be totally wrong. Don't mean to offend anybody here, guys. But I think a manager who thinks of him or herself as a good guy, who's willing for a direct to push back a little bit. If you think of yourself as a good guy, in other words, I have a good relationship with my with my dude. Yeah.
I say a statement. It's a declarative statement. And if you disagree with it or you can't do it, you're going to push back. It requires you to push back.
If I believe you think it will be okay for you to push back, then by definition, I am asking
a question.
Right. And you're not. Asking implies a question, right? What we recommend is easy to say in principle, and the key is make it a question. Now, apparently, that didn't get through. So how do we know whether things are questions or not? And that's easy. Does it end with a question mark? That's it. That's all. In the example mentioned that we mentioned a minute ago, it's, would you please look at this deck I'm working on? Or if you can't bring yourself to say please, fine, would you take a look at this deck I'm working on? That's clearly a question, right? It starts with a question word, would you, or will you, or could you, or when, or how, or who, or what? And another example, would you please attend this meeting for me? That's it. It starts with a question word, would or what or when or why or how or could or should, although should is usually not directed towards somebody else in the form of a question.
Do you think that pleases a problem for many managers?
For some, yeah, absolutely. Several different things. Oh, you know, let's not be too cute about it. I think, when did please become cute? Yeah. Another one is like, no, that's too far for me, Mark. I mean, too far how, dude? He's like, well, I'm already asking. I shouldn't have to say please. What happened to kindness, right?
Politeness.
Right. It's like somehow role power got conflated with the opposite of kindness. Role power is somehow okay, and kindness is a weakness, whereas role power is strength.
I think that's it. I think people perceive it as a weakness.
Yeah.
Like almost like begging.
Yeah, and yet, you know what? Now that you say begging, dude, you're totally right. There are some people who think asking is equivalent to begging. Look, guys, be clear. Your directs know you're their boss. You have a sign on your forehead. It says, watch out, I'm your boss. I can fire you. You don't need to reinforce it. And every time you try to reinforce it, you send a message that you think your boss power is weak, that it's attenuated somehow. You show yourself to be weak when you try to reinforce your power. It's not reinforcing your power to use it appropriately to fire somebody after 6 or 9 months on the job or whatever it might be. That's not weakness, okay? But it is weakness to say, I'm afraid that asking will be perceived as weakness, so therefore I'm going to use my role power and say, you will do, or I need this. And in fact, let me just also say as an aside, I need you to do something is a really bad formulation. Look up the definition of the word need. It's not, it's pretty darn black and white. If you say to one of your directs, I need you to do X, and he says, I'm sorry, I can't, I'm really busy. And then you say, okay, I'll find somebody else. You just proved I need you is false. Because if I need you to do something, that means there's no debate. It has to be. If I don't get you to do this, it's significantly deleterious to me in some way that I need you to do something. And I admit it. I've done it. Other people have done it. It's easy. We've said before that directs often mistake their bosses to be high Ds when in the DISC model when in fact they're not. And if you want to change that perception, particularly if you're not a high D, start asking, would you please, rather than saying I need, which is the worst, or I'd like, or I want you to do something.
There is something about a manager who clearly has power here saying please. I've seen it many, many times. They say please, and it almost has the effect of actually heightening people's awareness of the person's power. Like,
absolutely.
This person is so confident
about
their relationship that they don't mind saying please.
Yeah. Yeah. What they say is, I know you're going to recognize I have role power because I'm fairly confident about it and I exude it. And so when I say, would you please, you're not going to say no, not just because of my role power. You're going to say yes because I've taken the time to ask you in a nice way.
As a matter of fact, to some extent, I say please because I know you're going to say yes 99% of the time,
right?
Because I have role power. And I say please as a way of honoring you and making it easy for you to say yes.
Yeah, and because there are times when I don't say please, and if I think about it first, I might as well say please whenever I can, because I want the tone and tenor of my office, my space, my team to be generally above board, generally professional, generally pleasant, generally polite, because sometimes the crap is going to hit the fan, and then when it does, I'm going to throw a few curse words in there, I'm going to forget to say please, but I can ameliorate that a little bit throughout the other times by saying please and thank you and I appreciate it and so on. Look, there are going to be times when I'm in a high D, more times than most people, because I'm naturally a high D. But we recommend, when you have a chance to think about it, say, would you please? And we've talked about would you please before. It's a simple formulation. If you don't want to say please, folks, fine. That's your issue with the word please. You're making a mistake, but we're not going to fall on our swords about it. But please, whatever you do, don't jump from saying, I can't say please, to I can't ask a question. And saying, I'd like, or I need, or I want you to do something, or I'd appreciate you doing something. Appreciate seems to be an implication of a question because by definition, it's when the person's doing it, you're going to thank them for it. And so therefore, it's a, no. Well, Mark, if I don't say I appreciate it, then it's really role power. I'm not going to appreciate you doing this. I'm demanding you do it. I won't really appreciate it, but I'm going to threaten you with termination if you don't do it. I'm like, whoa, dude, that's really complicated. Say, would you please? And then also, when it's done, appreciate them by saying thank you. Instead of saying, I need you to go to the LA office, ask, would you please go to the LA office? Instead of saying, I want you to redo the sales forecast, say, would you please redo the sales forecast?
Simple. Easy.
Yeah. Now, look, as we said it before, asking relies on the relationship power and not on the role power. There are three types of power: role power, relationship power, and expertise. Relationship power is the strongest, the most valuable, the one you can change most quickly. A lot of people we know want expertise power. We know a lot of you people in technical roles say, I need to be an expert. Look, we love expertise power. Ideally, you'll have all three. You'll have role power, people will love you, and you'll be smart as a whip. Expertise power takes the longest to build. It takes
years.
A while. Yeah. Yeah. You're the go-to guy. Sometimes you get it immediately if you're an industry guru and you're hired at a company, but it's pretty rare. There aren't that many industry gurus in the world.
Well, you became an industry guru over a long period of time, right?
Right. The other thing, role power is one of the hardest ones. You can't change your own role power. The organization grants you your role power. The only way you can change your role power is to change your role, which most people can't do all by themselves.
Well, unless you're in the TV show The Office, there's one where this woman just
the manager was
out and she stepped into the role and started giving people raises, and it's quite humorous.
That's like Dwight being assistant to the regional manager, always saying, "I'm the assistant regional manager," and then Michael Scott saying, "Assistant to the regional manager." Yeah, role power is almost impossible to get. By yourself, it's impossible to get. And the problem with role power was saying, "I need you to do X," or "I want you to do X." Look, if you say, "I want you to go to the store for me," to a complete stranger, they're not going to do it. If you say, "I want you to do something for me," or "I want you to do something to a direct," what you're saying is, I have role power over you, and what I want becomes a command to you.
Right. You might do it because it's your boss, but your initial reaction is like, I'm making a hand gesture.
Yeah. Now, look, if you have a great relationship, they might say, okay, I like the guy, I trust him, I'm happy to do what he wants me to do. But then at that point, why wouldn't it be just as easy to say, "Would you please?" and to show a little bit of grace, a little bit of courtesy? Because a role power move tends to get compliance energy. When you say, "I need you," or "I want you," or "I'd like you to do something," you're getting compliance energy. They're doing it because they have to comply with your role power, because there are consequences you can bring to bear on them. You can't actually make them do anything. You can only punish them long term if they don't do it. When we ask for what we want, though, we are relying on our relationship power. And if we have the relationship justified, and some of you don't, of course, we get commitment energy. And commitment energy overpowers compliance energy every single time. Commitment energy is identified by someone who's doing something for you, and they come upon a roadblock, and they figure out a way around it or over to through it. Compliance energy, they get a roadblock, they come back to you and say, "What do you want me to do? I'm complying, but I can't do anything more because I'm not motivated. I'm not engaged. I'm not involved. I'm not committed, right? I'm only complying. And so I can't do what I need to do." And you wonder why your people aren't really fighting through things. Gee, why was that person asking me this question? Well, it's because they're complying with your direction rather than committed to the effort you've asked them politely to be
the
involved.
Outcome versus the task
you do. As opposed to the starting the task that you wanted to do.
It's kind of interesting because I think there's some managers out there who go, "Well, I'm new," or for whatever reason, "my relationship with my folks, it isn't that great right now, and so I feel a little uncomfortable asking them at this point." But the fact is, I think, can you tell me what you think here, even if that's true, and then you start asking versus directing, you're likely to influence the relationship in a very positive way.
Just the asking versus the telling will increase your possibilities for a better relationship with one of your directs.
Yeah.
You can actually jumpstart it by saying, "Okay, I haven't done one-on-ones. Should I try this?" Try it. Yeah. Look, if in fact they say no, exceptionally rare, you at least have a discussion about why there's a problem, okay? And by the way, it just doesn't happen. I mean, just the whole no thing just doesn't happen often at all. 1% of the time is when it happens. And now's as good a time as any to talk about that. The great thing about asking versus telling is it requires an answer. When I'm in a conversation with Mike, when I'm in a conversation with anybody, when Mike's in a conversation with anybody, and somebody asks a question, it's the other person's turn to talk.
Yeah.
It's the nature of conversational English, or any other language for that matter. The danger and the beauty of asking rather than telling is that it requires a response.
Okay, well, let me ask you. Okay, it does require a response, and you hope to get yes. In fact, the fact is, folks, you're going to get yes many more times than you're going to get a no.
Yeah, and many. But, 95, 98, 99% of the time.
Almost not even worth worrying about the no. But I know there are a lot of managers listening
right now,
right? And they want to know, well, what happens if they say no?
Yeah.
And the whole thing, like, I got to honor the answer type thing, right? Like, they say no. They said no.
Almost never do directs actually say no. And when they rarely do, isn't it still better to have an open discussion about their denial rather than ordering them to do something which, by their response, you can tell isn't going to be done very well? If they're going to be told no, let's say we knew in advance that asking them would cause a no. What value do we get? Well, I know, I'm sorry, I just realized the answer to my question. The value I would get in not asking is I avoid the discussion with them, the time it takes, right?
I avoid having to deal with the issue.
No, to deal with the no. But if I say to them, you will do X because I know they're going to say no to the ask, all I've done is delayed the negativity of the problem.
Yeah, it's going to surface at some point. Right?
Yeah, exactly. In fact, it's going to surface with poor performance on the task.
And time haven't gone past.
Yeah, exactly. And now we're behind. And if they go off in the wrong direction because they're ticked off and they're not willing to think through the problem effectively, proactively, or communicate with me about what they think is their weakness or something. And a lot of times people say no because I don't have any skills in that. And you get a chance to say, that's why I'm asking you to do it. Right. I'm not going to put a high burden on this. I just want you to try it. I want you to see what happens when you do it. And if you do it right, yeah. If you do it wrong, no worries. Blame it on me.
Yeah, and have that conversation now versus letting the person struggle with it for 3 weeks, worrying every single day. It's like, I don't know. I'm going to screw this. I don't know. My boss is going to hammer me.
Yeah.
No, dude. The whole purpose of this was to give you a chance to grow. I'm with you. I'm behind you. You're okay.
Yeah, exactly. Look, it's worth getting a no sometimes because getting a verbal yes is a great thing. The risk of getting a no is outweighed, even though it does still happen, by the overwhelming chance that you're going to get a yes, because a verbal yes to a question is better than you saying, I need you to do something for me. And they go, mm-hmm. Right? They know they have to comply, and so they're complying. But if you say, will you do this for me? And they say yes, a verbal yes in front of one's boss is a hugely important motivator.
Yeah.
I said I'd do it. He heard me say it. She heard me say it out loud. I don't have any choice. I agree to do it. I'm going to try to do it to the best of my ability, as opposed to, I need you to do something for me. Well, okay, I'm doing it for him.
The locus of control is internal, right?
Exactly.
I made the decision.
Great point.
I committed to it.
Yeah, locus of control is internal. Well said. Okay, good. Directs who verbally agree or commit to doing what you've asked are much more likely to do the work well and faithfully because you've shown them respect, the respect that they deserve, frankly, of allowing them to answer. And even if they rarely, on those rare occasions where they do say no, you get to find out what their issue is. And 90% of those times, you're able to address the issue. On those rare occasions, 1 out of 1,000 where you can't address the issue, fine. You don't want them doing that thing anyway. Do it yourself or have somebody else do it. Okay? In the same way we talk about delegation, we're not suggesting you roll over them, right? Don't ask them if you're not willing to honor a no. But if you get a no, be willing to engage with them and discover it's probably not that big a deal anyway. I'm swamped. Trust me, dude, it'll take you 15 minutes. No, okay. I'm good. Okay. You gonna do it? I'll do it. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. The thing that people say to me the most often is time. If they've never done it before, they think it takes a lot longer than it actually does. And so you tell them, look, if it takes more than half an hour, stop, call me. Let's talk about it, because I'd be willing to bet you I could do it in 15, so make me wonder what you were doing that it would take you 30. And if you're going to do this more often, you need to learn how to do it in 45 minutes, and then 30 minutes, and then 15 minutes. It's not, awesome. Not hard. So ask, guys, don't tell. If you want to sell, ask, don't tell. But for management, if you want things to go well, ask, don't tell.
See, look, it's catchy already. It's already catching on.
There you go, yeah. It'll be on Warren Johnson's Squidoo page, right?
There you go.
If you want something to go well, ask, don't tell, as a manager. Horseman's corollary to ask, don't tell in sales. It relies on relationship power, which is where great managers always rely when they have a choice. And asking requires that answer, and that verbal yes is way better for the outcome. And a no can be way better, too, if you're willing to engage a little bit on it. If you want to be quick, if you want to be fast, if you want to be easy on yourself, fine, just give orders. But when the stuff hits the fan and you don't have relationships, your people will not give you their last full measure. If for no other reason than they're professionals and they work for you, asking sends a message of respect.
Awesome. Thanks, my friend.
You bet, partner.
All righty. Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. Have a great one. So long. We'll be right back. Thank you.